Welcome to the City of Sacramento Finance and Governance Committee meeting. I'm the Chair, Kate Fuller, and with me is Councilmember Sean Keenan. I'm going to go ahead and move into the business agenda. There's only one item for the meeting, Financial Sustainability Plan and Utility Rate Study, Financial Sustainability Committee Process. It's a lot. It says Pete Mayer, and it's going to speak to this, and so is Vicki Carlson. Is that right?
Yes, so Vicki Carlson, Finance Director. I'm going to go ahead and give a quick introduction, and then I'm actually going to turn it over to Brian Murphy, who is Principal and also the Project Manager from Burr Consulting on this project. And before I turn it over to him, I'm going to actually pop up on the screen here. There are four discussion questions that we would like to have discussed and answered tonight. So at this point, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Mr. Murphy to start talking about process.
Great. Thanks, Vicki. Well, good evening, council members. Very nice to be working with you again. And this is a very important project. We're here tonight really as a process update and also an opportunity to check in both with this committee and then with the council as a whole about the process and specifically the formation of an advisory committee from the community to inform the financial sustainability plan. So it's a very important opportunity to engage members of the Tukwila community in the process and get their input throughout the process. And so we'd like to get council input on how we're framing the project overall and how we're describing the two elements of it, the financial sustainability plan and then the utility rate study. As well as, most importantly, the committee focus and its charge to work with them. So we have some thoughts written down in the documents that you have in your packets, on pages 5 through 7 in the packet. And we'd love to get your feedback from both of you this evening and then have a similar discussion later this evening at 7.
Dan, Councilmember Murphy.
Yeah, so I was just wondering about the process for the process.
Yeah.
And that was that, so it's coming through committee tonight, and then it's sort of like, then the rerun is tonight.
That's right.
And so what this is not a criticism, I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
So the value of vetting with the committee first was just to see, like, if we were like, not move forward, was that kind of it?
Your thoughts and also knowing that we'll be working mostly with the committee's Finance and Governance Committee, wanting to check in with you. I understand typically we'd be doing this before going to the whole timeline.
Oh, it's the same night. Yeah.
A little compressed.
It's more compressed, and mm-hmm. this is going to be in the committee. It sounds like. That's an answer, right?
And if I could speak to why we compressed it this time, is we do want to get started on getting committee members, mm-hmm. because the sooner we get committee members, the sooner we can start working with the committee, and we didn't want to delay that process. That's the only reason we have a contested compressed mm-hmm. timeline. Otherwise, we would have waited until the next COW to.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for that information. I figured it was something like that. Okay, so, Chair, I'm going to... Should I just?
It's question time.
So the questions. Okay. I don't really even know where to start. I did, like, when I read it first, I was like, I wanted to go to something that was sort of concrete, and that was the committee. And it says here that it's going to be sort of like the fire committee, or you know, mm-hmm. modeled after that. So, my first question is, how many people and what's the makeup that you were thinking?
Mm-hmm. So we're thinking of between 10 and 15 members of the committee.
Okay.
And we'd like to have both residents who are participating and also some business representatives. So obviously on the residential side, we'd want some representation of different communities or different neighborhoods within the city. And on the business side, we'd want to have representatives of both large and small, I think employers and retailers as well, to get a good cross-section of the business community.
So that's going to be the focus committee. So would we want to have on this committee also nonprofits and faith groups, or do you want to go out to them later on?
So we're thinking that this is primarily about hearing from residents and community members, and sorry, and business representatives, because that would be bearing they're the primary stakeholders.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So what if by some miracle you have a lot of interest because mm-hmm. when I was out and I was trying to talk to people about fire and EMS and I was mm-hmm. about budget and explained the budget part mm-hmm. and people would say to me, well, I want to be on that committee. Now, mm-hmm. when you go back to them, they might go, so what if you have like a lot of people mm-hmm. that are interested?
That would be a great problem to have. And I think what we would do is work with the mayor and with the council to identify a group that's got a good cross-representation of those different groups so we have different points of view. It's really important here, I think, to hear from and like make sure that there are representatives who can go back and speak to the constituents that they represent and the types of residents and businesses that they represent and get their input. And also, once this strategy is adopted, help those communities kind of understand it and understand the direction. So in terms of the winnowing process, our proposal would be that the mayor would sort of help nominate some of the names and it would be up to council to make the appointments.
We did that last time and I was out of town or something. We did not have input on who was on the
team. No. The mayor did not appoint.
We had an application.
Mm-hmm.
But we will have application process
yes,
this time.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, mm-hmm. but so who picked them for EMS? I don't remember.
We did.
The council did. Okay, I think that was at a meeting that I wasn't at. It's what. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's the same process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're modeling
it
after that.
So what's different about
the mayor's as well?
The mayor's right
there. Oh, I thought you said the council was going to have input too.
I missed the discussion last week with staff. So I believe that the mayor was going to make recommendations.
Yeah, and
then I'll
go to the full council for confirmation.
That's
yeah.
probably, didn't the mayor make recommendations last time?
No.
Nope. He didn't. Okay.
Was
he going to vet it first? I mean, just because I'm thinking about.
The mayor did ask people to apply.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. We can all do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we can have more conversation. You know. Okay, so that's where it stands.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, that'll be my question for now.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't support the mayor appointing. I think there was a beauty around the process that we had, whether one is applications, but also the council waiting on engaging folks to
mm-hmm.
Participate. This is a big issue. Comprehensive that affects everyone. And I think even though... And this is why, here's what I like. I like the fact that we're going early because if you remember on a couple of the other processes, we had to do more than one attempt. But what we got was a meet. So the thing I didn't notice is a statement of principles
mm-hmm.
around a commitment to equity. You know, I think it's great to have a quote-unquote advisory committee, but what makes the most that makes it more palatable? It's have to build and the process associated
mm-hmm.
because otherwise you have systemic forces that then dictate a determination or have it be basically a group of people who have spin on a perspective based on either based on the process. So just use an example that I set up. What traditionally used to be 7 council members, you just get 1 representative from every district. We blew that out of the water and said we will have a broad kind of outreach to participation based on their information. So talking about the equity gap. And what that did was it broke down the kind of special interest perspective in the sense of I have allegiance this one district or this one area and I'll come. This is a comprehensive committee. This is something that will help inform the council. And I think a process where we do a broad engagement for participation. And I'm perfectly comfortable. Let's let the chips fall where they may, because there is a lot of commentary about the city, their budget process. So I think we should take the learnings from what was first the financial fire group to then the fire group But I really think that there should be a process, fairly straightforward questions of why you want to participate.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could go through, you know, and finalize the decision. So thinking about trade-offs or whatever other considerations. Seems good, but it's also how you, again, I go back to how you start, because this is going to have to last. And if someone thinks that the process is not comprehensive and broad, or uses the processes that actually create disparities, because disparities do exist. And that's one thing we've seen through the equity process. So on share power, I think it's, hey, this is going to help the city. This is going to be your budget. And it's a priority for the council, and it would be a priority for the mayor. So that's where I'm sitting right now, just having participated in a lot of advisory groups and a lot of meetings and a lot of processes. To kick it off the wrong way, that's where it came from. So I lean more towards where we arrived as a council the last time. And on having an application process that's pretty transparent that we see and ultimately decide the members.
So I work in the same organization as Councilmember Quinn, and I have to go through training to get up to speed to what he talks about, because I don't have as many lived experiences as he does.
Mm-hmm.
So I wholeheartedly agree.
Mm-hmm.
And there are three or four principles that I'd be willing to email you in looking for who these people are.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm hearing key words from Councilmember Quinn that match what I learned, and I think this is like we've done better and better with each round of this, and the work still needs to be done, and I think we need to lean in and do this. This literally drives what the city's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty critical. So I wholeheartedly support that. I also would ask you, which unfortunately drips back into institutional racism, mm-hmm. and institutionalized processes that may or may not empower people who are marginalized. I would ask you to take a hard look at how the city of Seattle selected its advisory board for finance, mm-hmm. because I'm really impressed by mm-hmm. their review. I would take a hard look at the Seattle Chamber's president's, mm-hmm. CEO's written comments, and then I think Seattle Times also did a really good article on it too. Mm-hmm. To kind of plug in, I don't want this to be, this isn't your father's financial sustainability conversation anymore. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, some of those we might not have chosen here in Tukwila because Tukwila is not Seattle, but they got some really vibrant reactions to how Seattle, in this case, actually has more revenue streams and yet still is having difficulty managing it at their cost.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a little of that. Mixture on the committee, but not overwhelming people who want small businesses to thrive,
mm-hmm.
and people who want, you know, name your protected class to have opportunities they've never experienced before because we're actually listening.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty critical. I do not subscribe to the mayor making a selection
mm-hmm.
by himself and offering it to us to confirm.
Mm-hmm.
I think there will be an application process, and I think we ought to agree on what the criteria is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd love to see what bubbles through, and I think we confirm what happens there. Again, I was completely content. There were very good people that the mayor actually asked to apply who ended up
mm-hmm.
on the last committee that we came around with. So he has really good choices, too. I just don't want it to be an all or nothing thing. And you got seven other people who could contribute to this process, and
mm-hmm.
and then anybody else who is not in our world that has something to offer, you might step up because it's a trick intrigue. My next statement is actually a question.
Mm.
Somehow, between the end of this month and the end of this year, we're supposed to have a task force of business people concerned about a B&O tax and its implementation in 2024. So I'm looking around the table. Don't know where that is, but I hope that's not mixing this up with the same thing, because there's some really well-defined purposes of what we were going to do there. And I'm also concerned that that committee might pull away from the talent that we would need for this. So the timing is concerning to me. I don't have the answer. I just am trying to figure out what consideration is.
So my initial thought is because this committee is going to have a makeup of both businesses and residential, that the business community would be a break off and focus on that piece. Because I remember very clearly during the last budget process that there was a desire to look at the business taxes to make sure those business taxes were equitable. And it feels more appropriate to have the same group of businesses that will be here, the whole financial sustainability piece, also be part of that element as well. So they're not just looking at a bubble of the business taxes, they're actually seeing the complete picture. So my hope is that it's the same group of businesses that work on that element.
Okay. That's fine. Your line of thinking is interesting. Not for or against it, but I also don't want it to disqualify other qualified people who may not necessarily be as wrapped up in the B&O tax and the head tax and how that came about. I'd hate to have those people eliminated because we're trying so hard to fit one shoe, make one shoe fit all of it. Does that make sense?
It does. I think we'll see who the applicants are and go from there.
Okay. And I guess I'm going to stop my questions because Councilmember Hungary has a topical question.
Well, I'm following up with you guys. So
go ahead.
Are we good?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to go backwards. So, yes, to the five people, I get that, but I'm concerned about our B&O task force only having five businesses in it. So maybe, these are ideas. I know you're going to do that. Those five plus some others. For example, maybe the chamber CEO should be on that task force, and she's probably not going to be on this financial sustainability thing, or maybe not. I don't know. But I would say be open to a breakout group. That sounds really good. And then I just think it should be more than five people to make that decision. And I mean, groups or businesses. But how that would look, I'm not going to be really prescriptive. That's just my thought. The other thing I just want to back up what my fellow council members were saying about the mayor selecting. I understand there is going to be an application process, but the mayor would be selecting, or we might be looking at them. But the other thing about, it's not about the mayor, it's about one person to me. It's like, we have seven of us. We have seven people with seven angles, and of course we could always invite people, but I really think there's going to be wisdom, in a multitude of counselors as far as getting this group together. And if it worked before for us to do that, that's really my reason, is because we get more breadth there. It's not about like the mayor. It's about seven people that are council members, right? That have this kind of experience.
Yeah, I would put it differently. It's about the subject matter. So important. And for a city like ours that has been so impacted by the streamlined sales tax. Nobody understands streamlined sales tax, except for the folks that have to pay the bills. And then the other piece is process equity. You can develop a process that increases the likelihood of participation. And this is, to me, is the ball game. All hands on deck. And so, even if I was the mayor, I would not want my name solely put behind something that's going to live beyond for years and years and years. Because if you think about it, we've all had a hand to play in some of the previous decisions around our financial sustainability. That's been my motivation. That's been others' motivation. I've seen it. This is bigger than us to hold the speaker that we have right now. And it's in an environment where municipalities have less and less tools. And so it's always good. When we go to the state legislature and they say, what have you done? And we can bring those community representatives and talk about the process. So
So you were talking about both the subgroup and the group, right? When you,
I'm talking about kind of it all, which is going back to process equity, but also learning from what we've done previously, learning from the engagement that we've done previously. Not to say that it's gone up to bear fruit, but I think these things don't happen overnight. You don't snap your fingers and have these groups form. But as you know, people have a lot of opinions about council decisions and mayor's decisions that sometimes aren't grounded in kind of the reality of our situations. And I would say across the board for the municipalities across the state.
Be careful for one-offs. I'm just sorry. I'm taking off.
Oh, kind of jumping back.
Yeah, I am going back and forth. Sorry about that. Thank you. Yeah, it, you know, you don't want to really loud voice. It's a one-off.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the committee, right? So we want to be careful about that. Thank you, Kate.
It's okay. So I was going to say there's only two other areas. One is the makeup of the committee is going to be interesting because I could easily see a corporate executive office person showing up and standing next to an early learning business owner who's got BIPOC customers and is a smaller sphere.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how you're going to balance that.
Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of diversity is critical, actually, right? We want to bring those folks into the room, and we have to recognize that that's a difficult conversation to have in a way that's comfortable for everyone to participate and so that everyone's voices are heard. So, you know, well beyond sort of composition of the committee, we need to think about how to facilitate a good conversation. And frankly, not all of that may happen within the committee meetings. There may be some need to support some participants outside of those committee meetings with review of the materials if they're not familiar with some of the financial terminology and graphs and such that we use. So we want to make sure that that conversation is just as comfortable for both of the individuals that you mentioned.
They're going along the right line. You said half of it, what you do for the ones who might not be as familiar.
Oh, and
I also would think that there'd be some coaching with the ones who are completely familiar.
Absolutely.
For giving, finding ways to give space to Caden and a tender so they aren't intimidating the others.
Absolutely.
They might do it unintentionally, but it's just there needs to be a talk about how everybody is as equally important at the table. Okay. I'm staring at financial sustainability plan and then a rate study. Is that it? Is that comprehensive enough?
You believe so?
Is that everything that goes into running the city?
If we do this, that this should be a comprehensive look at the financial aspect of the city.
Because what my eye is looking at is there are things that pop up and grants that happen and sales that happen and things that I don't see in this list here that aren't structural, but yet it is a makeup aspect of how you are or are not financially sustainable, how you handle them, how you manage them, how you channel them. Not listed here.
Right. This is not going to be all about the numbers. It's going to be about the process as well. And this is going to be dovetailing in with some of the other studies that are concurrently happening, the facility study, the golf course study, and some others. So this is meant to be comprehensive. This is not just about the numbers.
Okay. So maybe something here ought to say that in your document. That's all. It's like, here's the universe. Here's our world.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the pieces of the world. They all match and dovetail together in certain ways. And we have a plan for that all working together in not a lopsided way, right? Something to that nature.
We can adjust these, obviously not for tonight, but we can make sure that those adjustments are made going forward.
I was trying to get my arms around this. These are the things I would put forward first, but then I'd be saying what's missing and what are other cities using and doing that we don't do that ought to be over here. That we're listening to. Maybe it's possible we cover everything and there's nothing left. But I always keep finding, you know, at least at the National League of Cities, fairly innovative things going on.
And part of this process is going to be comparing ourselves to our neighbors.
Yeah.
We're actually in that selection process now to see what those comparables are going to look like.
Okay. And I also find things in Dakota that the rest of the nation benefits from hearing as well. I didn't want to make it sound like it's one way Okay. In general, the timeline. Is everybody comfortable with the timeline? And it's very basic. I'm a project manager, so I'll always stay and stuff. And I sit there and go, how did you come up with what you came up with in terms mm-hmm. of stacking your time? Mm-hmm. And there's like at one point three things happening at once.
Right. This is at a very, very high level, right? So we'll have a much more detailed work plan. We're mainly here wanting to communicate in two short pages to members of the public who might be interested in participating in the committee. What's this going to look like and when would their effort be happening? So that's just what this is intended to do. And we'll be digging into much more detailed Gantt charts in terms of the actual behind the scenes work.
It does give a span of time. And it goes all the way through fall of 2024. Is that the setup for the biennial budget? Is that why you're trying to hit it before, I guess, January of the following year?
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of your drop-dead piece here? Okay.
Right.
All right. And then when we hear about the other studies, will there be a list on a page here that tells us what you're diving into?
We can add that.
Good, because I think different committees know about different things. And it would be good for the, at least the council, if not the public, to understand all the moving pieces on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can definitely do that.
Councilman, any more questions or comments?
Yeah, my assumption is that the council will probably see everything that is presented. So just remembering the fire sustainability one, we got whatever was presented in our boxes. We got to review it. I mean, obviously, it has to be transparent. And for now, I would say that this timeline, is definitely general. And if we're doing the process right, you may ask the question, and it might continue further. It just depends on the makeup and the decision-making powers of this group and what they've been able to uncover, right? So it's like.
So I had a comment about what you were talking about to add in here. First, the first thing I thought of was this is going to be a two-page document. I think it what you're talking about is embedded in here. It really says this is what we're going to be doing. We're going to be answering these questions. It doesn't sound like in any of this that we're going to be talking about budgets and dollars. So maybe you could just say, that could be what it is. I don't know. You were asking for them to have budget considerations. I don't know where that would fit in here. I'm not really quite sure what you're asking.
I think all I said was that timeline ends in time for the budget.
No. I'm talking about before that when you were talking about add something about financial whatever.
The whole universe of financial sustainability.
It's not, but you can see that right here, it says what the committee's going to do.
Right.
I'm not really quite sure what the what the leverage would be.
I think Vicki understood the message I was conveying.
Yeah, we'll be refining these documents and beefing them up as time goes on.
Okay, you can just say it in a sentence or something.
Well, I think we have different opinions, right? Here's an example. I wouldn't say that we have three different opinions. I agree with Kathy. It's implied, but then there's a piece around everybody learns and catches and logs on to the thing that empowers them. And so I think it'll just be a process. We shouldn't be dictating exactly what represents a comprehensive, sustainability plan around budgets and operations, because in the end, the folks that will be sitting around the table, they need to understand it, right? And so I think it'll be iterative, and it'll probably cover those things. But then if we're transparent about it, we'll be able to see it and say, it came out of this something.
Mm-hmm.
We're 6 months in or 3 months in, and I'm not seeing this covered. Mm-hmm. So I think there's an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming we'll get a lot of feedback from the participants.
Mm-hmm.
Of their view of how things work versus how things work.
Couple of the things. Over time, a lot of people have been pulling together committees of these types, and they've learned that some people who are marginalized can't afford to be
mm-hmm.
spending time during their day doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we compensate them for their time to make it worth their while to give their expertise to us. Have we given thought to that?
We have, yeah. We actually raised that question with staff, and staff were going to consider that and get back to us about whether we could compensate and how we would determine. We actually advocated for just saying if anyone would like compensation, they can receive that, including the corporate head, because rather than establishing a means testing for this, I think it does establish some precedent for other city activities. So there's some caution there, I think, including participation on council or planning committee or other
boards and commissions.
Boards and commissions, right. So that was a question we had asked of staff to consider and need to resolve that.
Yeah, and we really want to understand what the need is. We don't want to assume what we think the needs are going to be. We'll find out what the needs are and then make that determination.
I think that's good.
The state, state has just done this. We've done this in previous, and I get the precedent, and that has yet to be resolved. But what also comes with it is a process for reporting. So individuals that agree to accept the funds, you have to have a tax form. And then there is some requirement. But if you want to look for examples, PSRC, King County, and the state has a process. But what we may have to do, and it's important, is establish a policy around the process. I'm not suggesting that be the case, but I think you can create a buffer, and this is something we should, that we should probably talk to the city attorney about, is, unique circumstances can justify, paying for people's time and, quite frankly, their brains and attention. But I know that, it does. There is a slope you have to be really thoughtful about. And how you do that is you kind of go on the front end of what the criteria could be when those come. So just the consideration. And it's still forming. The state just passed that bill last year. So
then on the two sections versus the financial, I'm just searching for the outcomes. And then you have financial sustainability plan will and the utility rate plan study will. But have the study or have these, short-term, long-range strategies, et cetera, then what? Who decides and does something with it? How does it turn into actionable?
Mm-hmm. So we noted on the background roles that the advisory committee is really advising, right? They're not a decision-making body. It's an important distinction. And so this financial sustainability strategy would feed into policies set by council, budgets adopted by council. It doesn't change any of that decision-making dynamic. And moreover, I think we should all think that the financial strategy in the end will be higher level than the budget documents that city staff develop and council adopts. And it will be more directional and priority-based is what I picture in the end than it will be specific and determinant.
Yeah, and the goal is to have this completed in time for the budget process so it can be another tool to develop the budget and set those priorities.
Okay. And then my last question is values.
Mm-hmm.
Is there going to be a value statement that represents the city so that the team can absorb that and keep it in mind when they're looking?
Mm-hmm.
Will they be asked to come up with their own set of values, if it's financially specific in nature, have that shared, and then the council hears that and thinks they're on the right path or makes a few tweaks, but I just kind of want them to always have that centered while they're talking about what they're talking about.
Right. So, you raised some great questions, and we envision this as all part of the conversation in the first meeting of the committee. So we now have about a month to build some of that framework, and by building it, I mean draft for the committee to review, revise, put their own stamp on it. But we think what's helpful is a charge that's very clear, some ground rules for participation, including please don't take up too much space. We need to hear from everyone.
And then the values are evaluative criteria, and we need that established like really early in the process so that as they're starting to consider options and making recommendations, they have something to ground it against. Mm-hmm. We've talked about vision or draft vision for what would a resilient and sustainable and equitable community look like, as something to both anchor it and then just clarity on what the process will be. So I hear your question about whether we'd be checking in with council as we and the committee gets moving on that. And I'd be happy to take that into advisement with staff and think that through in that process, about whether, you know, when that material gets developed and whether we go to council first and then the committee or the committee first and the council to make sure we're moving in the right direction that's aligned with council's interest.
And then my last worry would be the timeline. Is it abundant enough to do that at a pedantic pace with consideration
right. And
some deep thinking as opposed to blast through it, throw a dart at a wall and come up with an outcome?
For the strategy itself or for the... For the outcomes for the studies, we think there's ample time if we can get moving, which is why we're trying to balance that recruitment time
yes. And
composition of the committee with then getting the committee going. Can't rush committee process, and particularly not the committee that we're talking about with that kind of diversity on it. So while staff and consultants might be able to crank out a plan, that's not what we're hoping for. So I think if we can get it started in the timeline that we're thinking with a first committee meeting in October, then we're confident, optimistic that we can meet the timeline.
Yeah, a couple of just final detail questions. So I went to Tukwila Roadmap, and it's not live yet. Do you have it like ready to go and to be live? And the reason I'm asking that is how long is your application process going to be?
So we were using, I'll have to ask staff about the roadmap.
Yeah, we've just set up basically a dummy page. I mean, create the URL, so the URL is live, and it says, coming. I think there's something on
it. It just has like something coming to. Yeah, but I wondered if you had it like ready to go and you just have to
Well, not until.
The answer is no. Okay.
Not until we get some kind of guidance tonight from you and from the full council, and that will inform content.
And the reason I'm asking that is it'd be great, you know, I'm sure you're thinking this too, get it live as fast as possible so you have, how many weeks? And you've got some time to garner interest and applications.
That's right. And if we don't have critical mass and don't have good representation, then we don't start.
And the budget still marches on.
Exactly.
So, wow.
Right. So there's some pressure there at the front end that if we can meet... with your help, right? We're asking for council help in that regard before.
And that's another reason I'm asking as soon as it goes live, because I'm going to make a couple phone calls.
Good.
And we'll know that, right?
Okay.
Wonderful.
So for me, checking in, hopefully, will just, as a council, catch you in the act of succeeding. But it also leaves room for what we might have collectively thought was the direction we were going, and it turned out differently, A, to bring us along, because it might be innovative and better than we thought, or B, oh my gosh, you did exactly what we told you to do, and it's horrible, right? This could be one of those outcomes.
Yeah.
So that's why the check-ins are to throw a wrench into the works, is to make sure everybody's like, well, yeah, this is what we... thought all along, and this is amazing what you're coming up with. Continue.
Absolutely.
Those kinds of confirmations.
It's in our interest, too, as a consultant staff team, to not surprise council with guess what we produced, right, later down the road. Now, we would be coming to this group and to full council with updates on both the sustainability process and the rate study process.
And I can't speak for the other two, but I wholeheartedly agree that if you get sort of a start going and you're X percent into this and you haven't reached critical mass, it's time to do a quick regroup and hit the restart button, because you don't want to do this badly the whole way through if it's not feeling like the vibe is right. So I would, again, there's six other people on the council that may feel differently, but my favorite phrase is bad news doesn't get better over time. Right. Stick your hand in the air and say, hey, this isn't quite where we need to be, and what do we do?
You asked about the application form. We were thinking of just using the boards and committees application form that's on the city's website. You all raised a good thought about criteria for participation, and so I'd love to ask you back, if I may, about what you would like to see in terms of composition.
I have great consternation about the applications. Go ahead.
No. Well, there's two parts to it. One is, you know, the person in the community, how they represent the community, or the, you know, their place in community,
mm-hmm.
and the other is the person as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So both are really super important.
Mm-hmm.
You could have somebody who's like, you know, identified in the community, like they're this, they're right in the center of this particular thing. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's a faith group or a business or something. But as a person, they might not be the best person on the committee.
Right.
It's just on the, yes, it's on. But, you know, is this being recorded? Yes, it is. But so there's, you know, there's two parts to that. And it's, you know, and that's, you know, delicate.
We listed on page 7 in the packet some of the characteristics, I guess, which of the individual that we think are important. They have to be interested in learning, interested to serve as a resource to others, interested in working closely with other committee members, collaboration, teamwork, and compromise, well, and able to commit to...
I only have 6 pages. Is there something wrong with my packet?
No, it's here.
Oh.
Is that on our I don't think that's on our boards. Can we get that pull that information out of our boards and commission's application?
I think that's also part of the process that council will go through to help select the right individuals for this group. Is your knowledge of those individuals and your ability to help us identify good participants?
I will then jump in and share my consternation about this. Some of our process require them to surrender their Social Security number. Some of our processes require a background check. And I get nervous when we're talking about business and finance, why any of those would apply. But I would have you just look.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to guess at the giggle, but for me, there are people in nonprofits who have backgrounds, who have valid community experiences to share with us, but they don't qualify for any of our committees. But they would probably come to the table with something important to share.
Mm-hmm.
There are people with or without Social Security numbers who are doing good things in our community who might want to be able to share, but that could pose a barrier. So I guess what I'm asking is to look at that and say, and maybe talk about our equity committee about how many barriers pop up with people that we would ordinarily invite to the table. This is, you know, a long commitment, but it's not as long as being on, you know, a committee that involves children or being on a committee that involves learning things from our police department, that might require security. And there's certain ones where I see where those questions may have turned out to be where they are, but I question whether or not they're inviting, welcoming, and considerate. We may see those as reasons not to use them. So, otherwise, on the whole, as a project manager, I spend all my time looking at what's wrong and needs to get better, but a lot is good here. This is tremendously good work, and I wouldn't have gotten it down to 2 pages. So well done.
I mentioned, Councilmember Kohler, we shared the Seattle information with the planning team. So they have the chamber response and some background on that. So they built that into their library of resources.
And it's not a total fit. But if my eyes opened up and I went, genius that they were going through certain criteria to go look at that. And there are the other city I admire a lot is Bellevue, for instance. Priority budgeting process, I think, is far more mature than ours. I think we are doing well with what we have. I think we've made good steps forward. But they're barreling along and must have massive resources in ways that are very impressive. What programs they kept and what they did not for services for people. Anything else from anybody else?
I have some thoughts, you know, kind of in response to you people. like there's a bevy of information that can inform the ultimate decision, and I think you got to be mindful of that. I think you got at it, Kathy. Look, one of the responsibilities is someone that has an ability to work in a team. You can have a phrase in here about being committed to collaboration. This, at the end of the day, will be a big decision, and at the end, you understand the process. Ultimately, and I think this got worked out in the last committee, there was a process that made everyone feel okay with the result, but ultimately knowing that a result will go to inform pieces. So there are a lot of examples, but I think the core one is just having an ability to honestly make hard decisions, be informed by information, be willing to be one member of a team that ultimately comes up with a result. Fundamental things like understanding, again, how to work as a group and respect, people around the table.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be community agreements that will be a part of this process. And I think, Kathy, to your point about some of the things that I think that's what I've probably talked about it, those processes kind of are dated. Some of them have been informed by some of the other pieces. But I'll just tell you one just example, and I won't say the person, but someone served on a committee, and I guarantee you, they were not sold on anything related to fire, and they came out to be one of the biggest champions. And I have known this person for years, sat and debated this person on their porch. And so we've kind of figured out some of it. It might be good to just kind of interview a few folks that have come out the back end of a process and what kind of informed them in the process, what worked and what didn't. I think we have to be open to knowing all of our processes aren't going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But gosh, you got a focus group already, already together. You already have the name. So be informed by that. More importantly for me, is whatever we say we're committed to, we follow through.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can have a glamorous word and you don't model that word yet. So I know that there are some things around equity and social justice that the commission is also incorporated and just on processes. But I think community agreements are a good start because that helps set the table before the table is set.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? I think we took one topic and it lasted about as long as we could.
That's great.
If we could take a little bit more time, there were four questions we were thinking. And
we answered the first one.
But we have the council, right?
Right, we still have the council. So we just want to use your time well here in committee. But then how would you suggest that we use your time well with your four other fellow council members? So you've had a robust conversation really about the committee structure here. I just want to make sure we also let it breathe for all the other things that are in the plan that's before you.
Well, go ahead. So I read through the questions, of course, and I and right now they seem good. The utility rate study. I really kind of keyed in on the utility rate study.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought, it's like helping the city plan major utility infrastructure projects. Because, that pass-through water and, those pass-through costs make it really tricky. And yet this can be burdensome for our residents that are on fixed income with this ever-increasing utility cost. And so I was interested in that, the recommendation for rates that says are equitable in their treatment of different customer types and their ability to pay. I don't know what that means. I don't really want to talk about it right now, but it seems like that would be an interesting discussion to have. I mean, so are there going to be I was just thinking about somebody who's like, so you have this threshold and maybe they pay less. And so you got the person that's this much about, over the threshold, and all of a sudden they're the ones that are getting dinged, right? And now they're down, they're worse off than somebody who's making, you know, $1,000 more. So those are tricky questions, and I don't even know if that's what you were talking about here. Mm-hmm. But so I think it's a good question to have, mm-hmm. one that I have no idea what the answer is to. But I liked that. I liked all of these because I always have questions because I was on utilities. You remember that? Remember when I was on utilities year after year? And I'd be thinking, these rates are going up, you know, and people, because the price of water is going up and they're unhappy and they think the city is just raising, but no, it's a lot of factors. And so I did some, you know, I've always thought about that. And so that's under key questions. The other ones seem good because you can be like honing those questions as you go.
So there's two sides of the ledger in the conversation. One is, what are we doing right? And what is needs improvement is the second one, right? I don't know that that's covered in these three questions that you have here. So you might want to go back and reflect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do we want to keep? Mm-hmm. And it'll be much like, I'll go back to elementary school, naming the ideal husband. Oh, he has to be strong, but gentle. He has to be smart, mm-hmm. right? Not over-intellectual. He has to be funny, but not a joker. Mm-hmm. You know, and here you may end up in that kind of half thing, what they like, but they can't afford, or mm-hmm. what they can afford, but they don't like it. So, but just try to get that balanced question out of them if you can somehow. Because that'll really take the temperature.
Mm-hmm.
I would wager a lot of people have tax fatigue and have had it for over 5 years. Mm-hmm. And it's not getting any rosier. So, and there are taxes that could be retired that may not be.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a question for people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people who are being taxed, like businesses are carrying the weight of some things for the community because we're small.
Mm-hmm.
How sustainable is that for them?
Mm-hmm.
And then do they think they get enough from it?
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, what citizens or residents can come up with, are they getting the bang for the buck that they hope for, or do they just feel like it's hitting them? You know, they all use water and sewer, right? But you'll get to one or two of these, and then it's, I guess you don't think of it as a utility because it's not that by definition one, but if you get them started on the garbage rates, you're going to have an interesting dialogue. And there's good and bad to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, we got this on Friday. I guarantee another council member will say that wasn't long enough to come up with new questions. How much running room do you have for us to send questions to you that mm-hmm. might be considered?
Mm-hmm.
And then did you I love benchmarking, so did mm-hmm. you benchmark this off of other cities and
mm-hmm.
Other cities' outcomes and get the best debris from those?
Right. So we'd like to get the material out, so because we've talked about this time crunch. And we're also, the three questions are meant to get at use of the resources, right? So the services that are provided, the burden on both residents and businesses. So, and it's a trade-off, and that's where we're trying to have in short three questions how to think about financial trade-offs, both investments in city programs and services, and then how to calibrate those services so folks are happy with the return that they're getting on their investment. And I think there's a lot of sub questions below these three, but we were thinking that they're at they're fairly open-ended, they're fairly general, and we can dig in below that level.
If you say what you just said to the rest of the council, that mm-hmm. might go easier.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like we'll have an opportunity. We got these four questions. I think all four of them are fundamental in our roles and responsibilities, so should we end up right here? Doesn't mean that people aren't going to have a different perspective. I'll just throw out a high-level question, because I know somewhat we're not indoctrinating people. However, you have a regressive tax system. And so what may look on the face as businesses bearing the brunt of the cost is actually the lower income folks that are bearing the brunt and pay a higher rate of taxes. Second thing is on the education side is, you know, obviously you see that article in the paper about utility costs in Canada. The price is going to go up. There are external factors that drive our investments. And then, you know, I think those are, that's a bigger question on the utility side is there's going to be less and less. And then with the wildfires came back from the Natural Valley, there are fires around our utility infrastructure. There's going to be costs associated with that. So I think there's an opportunity to make sure we cover the external factors that kind of drive what we hold.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think those are four questions you got to dive into it. This is something that we all want, and I'm sure we'd love to spend time making it perfect, but I know it's important to really kind of get the people and, you know, quite frankly, the criteria might be more important.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to, if it's financial sustainability, we're going to have to hold those key pieces in every element, right? You can't leave something out of a financial sustainability approach. So I'm comfortable with the questions, but there's, I would just encourage that there be an opportunity for education too, because it's actually changing as we speak.
Well, I'm confused. I see three questions, right? So questions here, different ones. Those are for us here. These are the questions for the
committee.
I totally subscribe to what you just said and want to see if we get one more level. Are you going to be able to give them the environmental factors on this? Not like the environment, like the tree, the outside factors.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm seeing some deep dives for the water lines, and things are going to change a lot. For them, you know, Seattle's making its positioning, and Tacoma's doing its thing, and it's all, we all got to get our water.
Right.
Maybe if the costs are not going down on this, and we're trying to seal deals early so that we won't get left out in the cold.
That process, I think, of the first couple of meetings of the committee is setting up the committee for success in terms of ground rules and community guidelines or community agreements and process clarity, but also information so that they can help advise us in the right way.
Yeah.
So that informational process is something we're still working on to think about what's all the information that is important to share and how do we share that in a way that some poor committee member can absorb that information and retain it and use it in a way to inform their decision-making or their recommendations development. So we'll use different techniques of putting, you know, some information in an appendix and bringing forward summary information for them to see so that they have access to the full information and all its, you know, all its depth, but with some summary takeaways as well. So that if they're moving through more quickly or needing a refresher, they can see that. So we'll do our very best to give them the information that they need as long as we can put that on a page for them.
Okay. And then the only other thing, I always thought we weren't very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
We take minutes. We have certain rules on how to take our minutes for meetings.
Mm-hmm.
We have the city's way of looking at what's going on. I'm going to say a name, but that person isn't the person you need to go talk to.
Mm-hmm.
But in the past, there have been people who, when we had our newspaper, written columns on what's going on. I wonder if it'd be smart. You could have a professional reporter, if you want, that's independent, or ask somebody from the community to not be on the committee, but just report on what they see happening here in the terms that we all talk in the community. It'd be tough to do it. So, like, you know, we've had luck with Chuck Parrish in the past when he did his columns. I'm not saying he's the one to go to at all. But, you know, what would happen if you had somebody from one of our, you know, multiple faith communities or multiple cultural communities come in and say, this is what it looks like to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want it to turn into a thing where we filter that person, but make sure that their facts are right in case they misunderstand something. But somewhere along the way, it's worth considering our communications process and maybe let. I wouldn't even care. Yeah, I kind of would, but it'd be kind of interesting if you had a senior from the high school to just, you know, say this is what's going on. But, you know, it could be anybody that's just as interested in explaining things, because I noticed most of our social media conflicts come from not fully comprehending what's going on. And we do it in city speak, and it doesn't sink in, if that makes any sense. So I don't have an absolute solution for that, but I'm just food for thought.
Thanks.
I think they're there. Are we in? Thank you. Peace. Mm-hmm. This is the
journey. Right.